when you have the light turned on and you start seeing as an investor and you start being very risk focused and you look at returns and you look at the underlying asset and you understand what's beneath it, once you turn that on, you can't turn it off. You can't. But there is a level of training and education so that people need to understand what it is.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Christopher Nelson is an experienced technology executive. He's a two times IPO. We went through two IPOs, right?
That's right.
Wow, that's crazy. You're a real estate investor. He's an author and he's a co-founder of Wealthward Capital. They're a real estate investment firm with a diverse portfolio of 3,000 multifamily units, mobile home parks, and ATMs. Christopher, I'm looking forward to jumping in today. This is a blast. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sam. I'm looking forward to it as well.
Pleasure's mine. Same three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show. Can you, in a 90-second version, tell us, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Sure. So I started after our first IPO. I had a sudden wealth event and I did not realize how much that would affect me emotionally, right? A lot of fear, doubt, and trepidation took over as all of a sudden overnight, we had a multiple seven-figure payday. And so it was really coming out of that, that my wife and I really wanted to create a financial fortress for our family. How do we really take what we've earned right now and move it to multi-generational wealth? And so with a lot of learning and with a lot of studying and getting into meetups and masterminds, we really found real estate and then we found syndicated real estate, right? Becoming limited partners. And so that's where we spent a ton of time working and investing. We also built out a small portfolio of single family homes as well. And then it was in that journey, as I was sharing it with other technology professionals, they started raising their hands and saying, can you help us invest as well? We would love to invest alongside you and your family. And it was truly out of that that Wealthward Capital was born as a private equity company where very transparent in how we're investing our tech equity dollars. And we invite people to join us on the journey.
That's really fantastic. I mean, I think it would be tough early on. I forget my projecting here. So correct me, please. So you have a liquidity event, you have a wealth event, as you called it. You start investing. At what point in time did you say the juice is worth the squeeze to bring other people in the business? I would think as you're doing something, that's fine and good. But at some point you go, how did that time investment make sense for you?
Well, it really, quite honestly, it didn't, right? I mean, when it was first brought to me, I was quite honestly negative on the whole concept. I really did not want to do it. I wanted to take care of myself. I wanted to take care of my family. But what I saw out there, and I see a lot of other syndicators and people who are in this business, is people need help. There's this machine. And I realized that the same machine that was convincing me that I should turn all my wealth over to them and that the market is going to take care of me, that's really riddled with a lot of falsehoods, it was speaking to those people as well. As they heard me talk about, wait, you're actually preserving your equity, you're getting income off of it, and you're actually expanding your equity when you exit these investments. We want some of that. And so it was really, I felt called into it, quite frankly, to really turn around and help my people who nobody feels sorry for the technology executive that's just had a multiple seven-figure payday, but they have the same struggles as anybody else as understanding what to do with their money because of the machine of Wall Street and because of the lack of education in the United States.
Right. Yeah, it is crazy when you say the lack of education. What things come to mind when you make that statement?
Well, a couple of things. Number one is, I think just basic financial education of saving and then also of investing, right? As being able to evaluate different vehicles. I think, and I know that we run in some of the same circles, Sam, but when you have the light turned on and you start seeing as an investor and you start being very risk focused and you look at returns and you look at the underlying asset and you understand what's beneath it, once you turn that on, you can't turn it off. You can't. But there is a level of training and education so that people need to understand what it is, because then there's this misperception of, oh, wait, if I actually see a fabulous return and I place money on it, that's more akin to betting versus understanding risk, doing due diligence and analysis. Those are some of the fundamentals that really are not taught.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about this. What were your first step? You said you came in on the limited partner side. You guys started investing yourself as an LP. Is that right?
Yeah, even before there, the first step, you know, I was given some advice by a mentor, which is understand the math. And I think being a technology employee, having gone through computer science in school, doing a lot of math, I enjoy math. I'm a geek, I admit it. And so getting well-versed in understanding the fundamentals of whether it's a single family home, whether it's a multifamily apartment building, whether it's a mobile home park, understanding the math, the assumptions, and really what drives profitability in those was key to us to understand. And then it was my wife and I consider ourselves real estate scientists, where we then started saying, okay, where can we put in minimum dollars and create some experiments where we're investing, we've got skin in the game, we're participating, but we're also then really tracking the results and understanding what's happening in the underlying asset as a business plan is being executed. And then also as we get deeper into a partnership with operators, it was really those fundamental steps of math and then participating at a level that we felt comfortable with that then after, I'd say 12 to 18 months, we really started scaling.
Right. I love that. So let's get into what that scientific investor.
Yeah, the real estate scientist.
What was the conclusion of that study in your being a real estate scientist? What did it lead you to?
Well, the conclusion, number one, is real estate is a very unique asset that we all need to have in our portfolios, right? There's no other asset that really has four ways to actually produce some level of either income or dollars back to you, which is cash flow, appreciation, you can do equity pay down, and then also the tax efficiency. But no other asset has that, number one. Number two is from a limited partner perspective, 90% of the success is going to be on the operator. So this is a people business and understanding people is critical. And then number three is the math isn't that hard. Like get to understand the math and tie that back to what your risk factors are so that you can quickly scan a pro forma and understand, is this too risky for me? Or does this fit somewhere that I now want to take a deeper dive?
Right. I love that, especially when you said it's a people business. I mean, I think that's one of the things we always stress. So I was talking to an investor yesterday. I was like, you can look at deals all day long, but you should spend the bulk of your time vetting the people because that's the largest part of this. Did this drive any of your investment thesis or asset class thesis? When you got done with that, you said, hey, we're going to stay in this asset class, move to a different one. Were there any conclusions on that front?
There was. So I think when we were doing this exercise back in 2015, 2016, we did start buying some single family homes, as I mentioned, just because we wanted to understand operations ourselves. We wanted to own our own real estate. What we did come out of that is, okay, to scale, to really get the value of owning larger properties, being an LP in syndications is definitely where we want to put the majority of our dollars to work. And our focus was at that point, you know, 2016, 2017, 2018 was very much on multifamily. Multifamily at that point in time was giving us good cash flow. You could get anything from 10 to 8% cash on cash return. And as the market was appreciating, there was the opportunity for some nice equity multiples on exit. It's not that same case today.
So did you pivot out of multifamily?
Yes. So now we have done a pivot into mobile home parks. And so we took a stop at ATM. So we did make an ATM investment this year that was a nice high cash flow to put in the portfolio. But we found our way to mobile home parks where we see a very inefficient market that's not dissimilar to where we found multifamily back in 2015 to 2017, where still a lot of mom and pop owners, still a lot of inefficiencies in the way that mobile home parks are being run. But then you don't have another asset class that is actually shrinking in size, right? Mobile home parks are being removed every day in this country because people do not want that in their backyard. However, it also has the demand for that level of affordable housing has never been higher. So that's where we're laser focused right now.
You hear arguments, though, all the deals are dead, or you hear something, which I don't ever believe that, but we have seen a significant uptick in the mobile home park space. What are some things that you guys are doing right now as you vet opportunities? One, to make sure the deal still makes sense, but also to find opportunity in a market where there's growing interest.
Well, so I think there always needs to be a level of blue ocean strategy, Sam. It's like, where are others not playing? And so what we're seeing right now is that a lot of the larger mobile home players and syndicators are looking at mobile home parks that are 100 pads and above. However, there are geographies where there is geographic density of mobile home parks that are 75 pads and below, where it's really easy to accumulate 100 pads, 150 pads, or we're just closing right now on 268 pads in total, aggregated small parks, but we're running them as a single entity. That is where we see a ton of opportunity right now, because a lot of those mom and pop operators that are running those are running their businesses inefficiently. Why? They can. They've owned them for the last 30, 40 years. So if they're running it at 70% occupancy with low headache, they're getting the cash flow that they need, because the majority of them are actually paid in full. Number two, they want out. They're tired. They want to get to the beach. They want to now be able to harvest all of the returns that this asset has generated in the equity buildup. And so they really want to get out. And so it's a tremendous opportunity. And this is, again, we're focused on 2022 continuing to acquire, because we're finding that there's tons of opportunity out there.
Have you guys built out an in-house acquisition and ownership team, or are you guys participating as a co-GP bringing capital to the table?
So this is actually one where Wellford Capital is partnered deeply with Fortify Capital, and we have come together in a single entity called the Thrive Community Fund. And we are operating as true partners, where they are the vertically integrated managers. And then I'm working on not just the capital side, but also the finance, the debt side as well. And we're truly sharing the responsibilities and growing that as a sister company to Wellford Capital.
That's fantastic. How did that relationship come about? And how did you finally ink that and say, okay, this is the path forward for us?
This is the interesting thing when it comes to real estate, right? Is real estate is about meeting people and getting to know people and aligning values. And so I met Bo Wiltshire, who is my business partner in the Thrive Community Fund, through a networking group. And we got to know each other. And when I first met Bo, we had a nice connection. And then as I started wanting to know more about mobile home parks, he was the guy that I knew that had been an operator in that area. So I started having conversations with him. And we found a lot of things in common, that we both came from other professions before real estate. We both operated at a very high level of execution and had tremendous success. And now we're seeing success in real estate. We're also very focused on impact investing, right? We do see here in the United States, we have to help solve the affordable housing issue. And so I think when you have that principle and passion alignment, and you're both high execute individuals, there's real opportunity there.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. That's fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about the Thrive Community Fund. What's the structure of that? And let's just get the down and dirty on the fund itself.
Yeah. So the Thrive Community Fund is a invest in mobile home parks in the Fayetteville, North Carolina area. And we are looking for, as I mentioned before, these smaller parks. So we're aggregating these smaller parks. And so this is exactly why we're putting it in a fund instead of a syndication, because of the fact that syndicating all of these small parks just truly wouldn't make sense. But it is, we're aggregating capital. We call capital when we actually have parks that we're going to purchase. So this isn't a fund where capital is going to be sitting idle while we're going and looking for parks. It's, hey, we have parks in mind. We go and raise that capital, and then we go and put the parks under management. And at a high level, we are providing an 8% preferred return, but our average annual return is a 10.5% cash on cash return. And we're looking to do a cash out refi in year 5 of this transaction to return all capital and then continue to cash flow for 5 years. So we are looking for a long-term hold. And these are all of this, Sam, came out of the fact that my focus as a passive investor, right, is building a portfolio. And what I've seen is that while multifamily still has a large portion of my portfolio, a lot of those transactions and investments are closing out in 3 to 5 years. So I want longer term holds, and I want also the ability to get my capital out midway through so that I can redeploy it. This was really what helped me partner with Bo and create what I think is a phenomenal investment for any passive investor's portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Christopher, thanks for taking the time to really break down your company, what you guys have done, how you've grown, having a liquidity event. Those are all just fun things that they present new challenges, right? I've heard that the problems never go away. They just change.
That's right.
As you've pivoted and learned along the way, I think this is absolutely fantastic. Is there anything else you're working on right now outside of real estate, or is this the 100% focus?
Right now, I am really focused on helping to educate more of my technology professionals. So I'm in the middle of writing my first of what will be three books. So my first book is From No-Do to IPO. I really want to help technology employees adjust their lens and actually have an investor's focus when they work for equity. The majority of technology employees go to work for the highest risk, highest reward type of equity, early stage startups, and they get frustrated when they can't do it. Myself, who I have gone through two IPOs, I also know people who have gone through three or four different IPOs. I am collating all of the information of how we analyze companies and how we invest our time wisely to actually go through these events and actually create what we call career compensation compounding. We're going to follow up No-Do.IPO with From IPO to Cash Flow. Once you get it, how do you plan, protect, and start producing cash flow? And then we're going to cap that off with the book that I'm really writing right now as we live it, which is how do you go from cash flow to passive investing pro, where you want to then spend your final days investing passively and then making an impact where you feel called.
Man, that's fantastic. Christopher, thanks for breaking all that down for us. Loads of fun. Look forward to those books when they come out. On that topic, when is the first book coming out and how do our listeners get in touch with you for that book or get a copy of that book?
So the book is going to be coming out in late summer. Is we're going to be publishing with the editors right now, wrestling with those people and having a ton of fun. But yeah, it'll be late summer. But I mean, the best way to get in touch with me is at thrivecommunity.fund, that you can go up there and you can watch a webinar, but that also gives you access to my calendar, get some time, and we can get a chance to know each other.
Fantastic. Christopher, thank you for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.